Hello, and welcome to your GCSE Food Preparation and Nutrition Study podcast. I'm here to help you master one of the most exam-critical topics, food labeling regulations. If you've ever picked up a food package and wondered what all those numbers, symbols, and bold text actually mean, you're in the right place. More importantly, if you want to earn top marks in your AQA exam, understanding the legal requirements behind food labels is absolutely essential. Today, we're going to explore the Food Information for Consumers Regulation 2014, break down mandatory versus voluntary labeling, and most importantly, show you exactly how to apply this knowledge to exam questions. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to confidently analyze any food label and explain its legal requirements like a senior examiner. Let's dive in. Let's start with the legal foundation. The Food Information for Consumers Regulation, known as FIC Regulation 2014, is the law that governs food labeling in the UK. This is European legislation that was retained after Brexit, so it's still the law you need to know. Examiners expect you to reference this regulation by name, so make sure you can spell it correctly. Now, here's a crucial distinction that trips up many candidates: mandatory versus voluntary labeling. Mandatory labeling is required by law. If a manufacturer doesn't include it, they're breaking the law. Voluntary labeling is optional. It's used by manufacturers to help consumers make informed choices, but it's not legally required. Let's talk about the 14 mandatory allergens. This is exam gold. You need to know that there are exactly 14 allergens that must be declared on food labels. These include cereals containing gluten, that's wheat, rye, barley, and oats, crustaceans like prawns and crab, eggs, fish, peanuts, soybeans, milk, nuts such as almonds, hazelnuts, and walnuts, celery, mustard, sesame seeds, sulfur dioxide and sulfites, lupine, and mollusks like mussels and oysters. But here's the key detail that earns you marks. It's not enough just to list allergens. The law requires that allergens must be emphasized in the ingredients list. That means bold text, italics, underlining, or a different color. If you're analyzing a label in an exam question, you must explicitly state that the allergen is emphasized. For example, don't just say, "The label lists wheat." Say, "The label lists wheat" in bold text, meeting the FIC regulation requirement for allergen emphasis. Next, let's tackle the difference between use by and best before dates. This is a favorite exam question. Use by dates are about safety. They're used on highly perishable foods like fresh meat, fish, and dairy products. After the use by date, the food may contain harmful pathogens like Salmonella or E. coli, which can cause food poisoning. You must not eat food after its use by date. It's a legal safety requirement. Best before dates, on the other hand, are about quality, not safety. They're used on foods with a longer shelf life like biscuits, canned goods, and dried pasta. After the best before date, the food is still safe to eat, but its organoleptic qualities may decline. Organoleptic is a high-level term you should use in exams. It refers to taste, texture, smell, and appearance. So biscuits might go soft or crisps might lose their crunch, but they won't make you ill. Now, let's discuss nutritional labeling. The mandatory nutritional information that must appear on most prepacked foods includes energy in kilojoules and kilocalories, fat, saturates, carbohydrate, sugars, protein, and salt. These must be presented per 100 grams or per 100 milliliters, and optionally per portion. Here's where traffic light labeling comes in. This is voluntary, not mandatory. I'll say that again because it's a common mistake. Traffic light labeling is voluntary in the UK. It uses red, amber, and green color coding to show whether a food is high, medium, or low in fat, saturates, sugars, and salt. Red means high, amber means medium, green means low. Manufacturers choose to use this system to help consumers make healthier choices, but they're not legally required to. Finally, let's cover ingredients lists. By law, ingredients must be listed in descending order of weight. That means the ingredient present in the largest amount comes first, and the smallest amount comes last. This is really useful for consumers. If sugar is the first ingredient in cereal, you know it's mostly sugar. There's also something called QID, which stands for Quantitative Ingredient Declaration. If an ingredient appears in the name of the food, like strawberry yogurt, the percentage of that ingredient must be declared. So the label must say, for example, contains 15% strawberries. This prevents manufacturers from misleading consumers. Right, let's talk about how to apply this knowledge in the exam. The AQA mark scheme rewards specific, detailed responses. Don't just say, "The label shows allergens." Say, "The label emphasizes the allergen wheat" in bold text as required by the FIC Regulation 2014. That specificity is what moves you from level 2 to level 3. When you're given a food label to analyze, always quote the specific data. If the label says 15 grams of fat per 100 grams, write that exact figure in your answer. Examiners want evidence that you've read the label carefully. Here's a common mistake: confusing free sugars with intrinsic sugars. Free sugars are added sugars, and the sugars naturally present in honey, syrups, and fruit juices. These are the ones linked to obesity and tooth decay. Intrinsic sugars are the sugars naturally present in whole fruit and milk. They're not a health concern. If you're explaining why high sugar content is a problem, specify that you're talking about free sugars. Another mistake: saying that traffic light labeling is mandatory. It's not. It's a voluntary front-of-pack scheme. If an exam question asks you to identify mandatory labeling requirements, do not include traffic lights. For longer questions worth 9 or 12 marks, structure your answer carefully. Cover legal compliance, consumer safety, and healthy eating implications. Use the term organoleptic qualities when discussing best before dates. Reference specific dietary needs like celiac disease when discussing gluten or lactose intolerance when discussing milk. Okay, let's test your recall. I'll ask a question, pause, and then give the answer. Try to answer before I do. Question 1. How many mandatory allergens are there? Answer: 14. Question 2. Must allergens be emphasized in the ingredients list? Answer: yes, in bold italics or another form of emphasis. Question 3. Is traffic light labeling mandatory or voluntary? Answer: voluntary. Question 4. What does use by relate to, safety or quality? Answer: safety. It's about microbiological risk from pathogens. Question 5. What does QID stand for? Answer: quantitative ingredient declaration. Question 6. What does organoleptic mean? Answer: relating to taste, texture, smell, and appearance. How did you do? If you got all 6, fantastic. If not, go back and review those sections. Let's recap. Food labeling in the UK is governed by the FIC Regulation 2014. You need to know the 14 mandatory allergens and that they must be emphasized. Understand the difference between use by for safety and best before for quality. Remember that traffic light labeling is voluntary, not mandatory. Always quote specific data from labels in exam answers and use high-level vocabulary like organoleptic qualities. This topic appears across multiple question types in the AQA exam, from short 2-mark definitions to 12-mark evaluation questions. The key to success is specificity. Name the regulation, cite the data, and explain the legal and health implications clearly. Thank you for listening, and best of luck with your revision. You've got this!